Then you got Mark, Luke, John. In our Bibles there at your seats, it's on page 854. 854, Matthew 6. We'll get to that in a few moments, give you time to find it. Over this week and the next 2 weeks coming up, we'll be doing this series called Why Worry? You know, all of us have worried about something in our life. Some of us worry a whole lot more than others. I understand that. But you know, in our society today and in the way we live in our culture, sometimes we're worrying more. Maybe you've never been much of a worrier, but you're worrying more now than ever before. Things you didn't seem to worry about or be concerned about now are concerning you. And then there's the people on the other end of the spectrum. You know, those people who never seem to worry about anything. You know who I'm talking about. They have to take their blood pressure once in a while just to see if they're alive still. You know those people. You know, you might be in the 10th grade today and, you know, you don't understand why your parents would worry, or, you know, you just don't get why people worry. Maybe this message isn't for you. I'll make a deal with you. You can just nod off and go to sleep now, and when the service is over, the sermon's over, somebody will poke you and you can wake up and we'll still give you a hamburger outside. But for the other part of us, most of us here today, we're worriers. And at the other end of the spectrum, you know, you got the non-worriers over here. At the other end of the spectrum, you have the people that worry about everything. Now, please don't hit your spouse right now, okay? They worry about everything. Moms are really good at falling into that category, aren't they? They internalize everybody's problems. You know, they carry so many burdens, they look around and go, "You guys don't have to worry about anything. I've got it covered. I worry enough for everybody," right? You ever met those people? Other people don't have to worry half as much. And you know what? It drives them crazy. They've tried to worry less. They've tried to not worry so much, but that's like laying in bed at night and trying to go to sleep. Have you ever tried to do that? The more you try to go to sleep, the more you wake up, right? Well, for the rest of us, we're maybe in the middle. Not either extreme, but we're in the middle. But, you know, with the stuff that our country's facing today, the economy in our country, stuff that goes on in our life, even if you haven't been a worrier, maybe you've started to worry about certain issues. Maybe things haven't gone so well in your business, or maybe things at your work, and you've begun to worry. You never were much of a worrier before, but it's sort of sinking in. Well, this message is for you today. It's for all of us, really. And did you know there's so many books written on this subject of worry? There's entire shelves at Barnes & Noble written about worry. Their shelves are full of them. I Googled, you know, you could type in Google, and I typed in worry, and 361 million articles, blog posts, books, all this stuff come up on Google. I didn't have time to read all of that this week, but the truth is the internet's full of stuff on worry. So many people worry. That's why this stuff sells. Well, I want us to just raise three questions kind of in the opening this morning to help us get us thinking along certain lines with regard to this subject. You don't have to raise your hands. We're not asking you to answer out loud. Don't answer for your spouse sitting next to you. None of that. This is just for you to start thinking a little bit. And here's the first question. And I can't take credit for this question. It was written a long time ago. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? That's a great question to think about, isn't it? Who of you, by worrying, can add even a minute to your life? The second question we want to just mentally ponder today is, who of you have worried so much, you're on this end of the spectrum where you worry about everything, and you've worried so much that you might think that it's possible that you've actually shortened your life by a few minutes or maybe a month or a year, right? That ulcer is built up, those headaches or sleepless nights or whatever, and maybe you think you've shortened your life a little bit. That's possible, isn't it? The third question I think we should ponder today is, and there's kind of two parts to this one, Is there anything more valuable to you than staying alive? Is there anything more valuable to you than staying alive? And the second part of that is, will worry, if there is something more valuable than that, will worry contribute to the thing that you value most in your life? So if there is something that you value more than life itself, is there something that will contribute to that if you keep worrying? So we're talking not only about the quantity of your life, will worrying add more to your life, but maybe there is something worth worrying about, and if you do that, will it enhance that experience in your life? Will you get more not only quality, but quantity? Quantity and quality. Boy, am I getting those two cues mixed up. So here's the thought. If worrying doesn't extend your life, and if worry has the potential, as most of us know, and most experts say is true, to shorten your life, and if worrying doesn't enhance or make better any part of our life, either the quality of our life or the quantity of our life, then why in the world would we want to worry at all? Why would we have that a part of us? This is something that we really do need to conquer in our life, isn't it? For the next 2 weeks, including this week, 3 weeks total, we're going to open up God's Word, because I think He has the answer to this problem in our society. We're going to look specifically at what Jesus has to say about worry in Matthew chapter 6. This is the first recorded sermon that Jesus preached in the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount. And He is talking about something so fundamental. This isn't new to us. Worry, since the beginning of the age of man, there's been worry in our culture. And what Jesus has to say about worry is so incredible, so life-changing. If you apply the truth, maybe you're not sure of this Jesus, God, church thing. Somebody invited you today and you just showed up. You're not sure about all this. Let me tell you, if you set all that aside and you just read this passage that I'm going to give you today and you start thinking about it, even if you're not ready to believe it all today, you're not ready to join the church, we understand all of that, you're just checking things out, we're glad you're here. If you apply these principles, they'll bring your worry level down. They will begin to take your stress level down. They'll begin to remove some of the anxiety from your life. Worry has been around as long as there's been people, and Jesus addressed it, and He gave us definitive ideas and answers to this problem that we all have from time to time. Now, you know, like Jeopardy. How many of you watch Jeopardy? My son loves Jeopardy. I have one son, right? I'm not a game show guy. I don't watch much TV at all. And when he says, I want to watch Jeopardy, I'm like, click, click, click. Let's watch Jeopardy, right? And I have to put up for that. But Jeopardy is an interesting game show. They always give you the answer, and then you've got to give them the question. Well, I'm going to do that today. I'm going to give you the bottom line. If you know, we put this out there, and then we'll fill in the gaps and kind of define the issue as we go. The answer today, the thing that we want to get across today, the thing that Jesus is going to open up here a little bit, is the thing that you're most devoted to in life, is the thing that you're going to worry the most about. Let me say it just a little bit differently. The things that you are most devoted to are the things that fuel your worry. The thing that you worry about the most is the thing that you're the most devoted to. We don't think of it that way, do we? You see, worry is so emotional that we try to deal with worry in just the realm of pure emotion. That's what we try to do. And we don't connect those dots with that's what we're most devoted to. But here's the beauty of this. What if there were a way? If you want to know what drives your worry, it's the point of your greatest devotion. I want to just illustrate it before I get to what I was going to say. You may not want to hear this from your pastor. So bear with me just for a moment. This may surprise some of you. I want to be a little transparent with you today. I want to always be transparent with you, but if you came to me and you were about to get laid off, and I hope, pray that doesn't happen, you were worried about your job, is it going to be phased out? Let me just tell you, I'll pray for you. I'll read some scripture to you. I'll meet with you and help you and encourage you. I'll even maybe enlist my wife to help you build a resume, because she's done that. You know, she's helped people with that. She's looked at a lot of resumes. I can help you, but I'm not going to go home tonight. I hope this doesn't sound bad, but I'm not going to go home tonight and worry about your job, right? Right? Because I'm not devoted to your job. You get the connection? It may sound bad, but if you call me and say my kids are flunking out, I don't even know if my 12th grader is going to graduate, right? We're having all the graduations. How many of you have a graduation to go to this weekend, right? It's a busy weekend, and here we have Friends Sunday, right? Just right in the middle of it, right? And you have a graduation, and you call me and you say, Pastor, I don't even know if my son's going to graduate. My daughter is failing the sixth grade. I'm going to go to middle school, whatever the case is. I'm going to empathize with you. I'm going to have compassion for you. I'm going to talk to you about that and pray with you about that. Read some scripture to you, encourage them. But I'm not going to be worrying about it, because my life, it's I'm not devoted to just that. That's not what fills my universe. You get the connection? The same thing is true with your retirement. I hope you retire with millions of dollars. Wouldn't that be great? I hope you can retire earlier than you expected. I hope God just blesses you and blesses you and blesses you. But if things get tight, I'm not going to worry about your retirement. I'll pray for you. I'll encourage you. I'll do all the things the pastor's supposed to do to help you, but I'm not devoted. That's not what God has filled my universe with. I'm not devoted to your early retirement, right? I pray that that happens. I want it for you so bad. You see, worry is tied to the things that I'm most devoted to as a human being. We'll discover that over the next 2 weeks, that the things you worry about the most are reflected in your core devotions. And here's the thought. Here's another thought. What if you were able, what if there were a way that you could shift your devotion? What would happen to your worry if you could take the things that you were most devoted to and shift them? What if there was a way to do that? That's an amazing thought. There might just be an ultimate solution to worry if what I'm saying is true. And the Bible is awesome. Jesus is brilliant here. And that's where we're going to go with this today and over the next 2 weeks. When Jesus decided to launch this conversation with his audience about worry, guess what topic he launched it with? It may surprise some of you. Money. Isn't that crazy? Money. Statistics, if you look at the polls, people's number one worry in America is what? Money. Money, 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 right? We think we're going to run out of money before we run out of life. And that's people's number one concern. There's 70% of Americans, according to a recent poll, said that their number one money problem is their money, their personal finances, or the economy of our country. And Jesus begins his conversation right here. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6, page 854, verse 24. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted, and that's our key word. Underline that in your Bible. If you got a church Bible here, you're going to take it home with you. Get that pen and underline that word devoted. That's what we're going to be talking about in our discussion. You either be devoted to the one and despise the other. And we got to ask ourselves, Jesus, what are you talking about here? And then he just comes right out and says it. Look at this, the next few words. You cannot serve both God and money. In other words, This word for money here in the original Greek, in the Greek it's translated money in the NIV and some of our Bibles, but it's the word is actually mammon. And the best translation for that actually means stuff. Not just cash, but stuff. And what he's saying here is you cannot serve both God and stuff. There's going to be a conflict there. There's going to be a devotion issue there. There's going to be a tension there. Who's going to be boss in our life? Is God going to be boss in our life? Or the accumulation of more stuff and more stuff and more stuff? What's going to be the issue? What are you're going to worry about one of those things? There's a war that goes on between them. Then look at the rest of verse 25. It's a long verse. And the next verse there, 25. Therefore. Now that's an important word in the Bible. That's a word used to connect two thoughts. A lot of preachers, a lot of people separate the verse we just read with what Jesus says about worry, and therefore connects the two subjects. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. That's pretty general, isn't it? Okay, Jesus, thanks. We won't do it anymore, right? Jesus knows better. He knows we need some instructions. So he says that don't worry about your life. Don't worry about the specifics. Don't worry about the things that you worry about. And then he addresses his audience on some specific issues that they face in their life. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, that's what he says to his audience. That's the culture that they were living in. You see, I know, he says, look, I know what you're dealing with every day. This culture that Jesus is preaching to, they were living hand to mouth. They were incredibly poor. They were being oppressed by the Romans. There wasn't a lot of extra to go around. He says, listen, a lot of you are waking up in the morning and you don't even know what you're going to feed your children for breakfast. Not to mention, did you know children actually get bigger every year as they're growing up? Seems to be our kids do. And they're like this tall now. And they're growing up. We got to get them new clothes. And if we don't know what they're going to feed them for breakfast, new clothes are expensive. What are we going to do, wife, with our children's clothes? They're expensive. This is what the culture was facing, the bare essentials, the needs of just living. I don't know about you, but most of us here, you look pretty good today. I don't see anybody here with clothes issues. And it's a casual Sunday, right? I mean, nobody even has a suit on today. And you look good, even without your suits. So that's not probably a need, something we worry about too much. There may be some that do, but in our society, in East Mauritius and the greater Mauritius area, that's not a big need, right? Food? You guys got plenty to eat, don't you? Most of us do. That's probably what's not on our radar screen. So if Jesus were addressing us today, he might say something like this. You know, we don't worry too much about clothes. He might say, look, don't worry about when you're going to retire. Don't worry about what school your kids are going to get into. It's a big concern for a lot of parents. Jesus might start his sermon on worry with us and say, look, don't worry whether you're going to be single for the rest of your life. Maybe you're looking for a mate for your first time, or maybe you've been through some relationships and you wonder if you're ever going to get married again, and that's a concern for you. Jesus might look at you and say, hey, don't worry about that job that you love. Don't worry about that industry. Don't worry, here's a big one, don't worry about that prodigal son or that prodigal daughter that you've poured your life into, but you keep getting those phone calls that they've blown it. Don't worry about your health. Anybody here have worries about their health? You don't have to say yes or anything. Don't worry about your life is what Jesus is saying about. Okay, Jesus, you're saying that these things aren't important, that it's not important that we have food to eat and clothes to wear. Absolutely not. That is not what Jesus is saying to us. He's not saying that these things are not important. He's not saying that retirement is not important. He's not saying school is not important. He's not saying that health is not important. That's not the point of what he is saying. It's just the opposite, in fact. His point is that all of these are incredibly important, and it's the uncertainty that's related to all of these things. The uncertainty of, will we have enough when we retire? The uncertainty about, will our children pull off the score they need on that final to graduate high school? But the uncertainty about the future that drives our worry, and Jesus is not saying these things are not important. They're incredibly important. But some of these areas aren't going to work out and be fine. They're not going to be perfect. We have to face the uncertainty of tomorrow and somehow, through His instructions, not worry about all that today. When it comes to your life, however you define it today, whether it's the retirement or whatever is included in that part of your life, Jesus is saying, look, there's a way to not worry about it. And He wants to help us out. Look at the remainder of verse 25 here. Is not life, the essence of life, more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Now here's what He's doing here. Follow me. He's trying to pull us out of our hyper-focus. Oh my goodness, my 401k. Oh my goodness, my retirement plan, poof, it's gone. Oh my goodness, how am I going to feed my family? Oh my goodness, what am I going to do when my kid doesn't get in to that college? Will I even be healthy enough to enjoy the retirement that we've been working so hard and saving for? Just for a moment, Jesus wants you to think about the essence of life. He wants you to pull back for just a moment and get out of that hyper-focus, laser-guided thing on that one thing, on that thing that you're most devoted to. He wants you to pull back for a moment and He wants to ask you, is life not more important than retirement? Is life not more important than where your kids are going to end up in school? Is life not bigger? And this is a big one. Is life not bigger and more than just about your health, in parentheses? Those are all components of our life, right? You know, if you're not married and you're worried about getting married, most people, that's all they think about. That's all, will I ever find that person? Marriage is a component of your life, but it's not all of it, right? Makes sense? And that's what Jesus is saying here. Is not life more important than just the food you eat? Isn't there more to life than just the clothes we wear or the 401k we have or fill in the blank, the business we run? He's not saying it's not important. He's saying just pull back for a few moments and see it in a little larger picture. And then Jesus is going to begin to teach us how to apply this, how to not worry when we start to do that. And I want to tell you, it gets intense. The next few words are going to get intense for us. Are you ready? I want you to brace yourself a little bit. Look at verse 26, the first seven words of verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. I just have to laugh when I read that. When I'm worrying, when I have something that keeps me up at night, I am not thinking about birds in the air. Are you? And Jesus is saying, don't worry about life. I want you to not worry about life. Just look at the birds of the air. Jesus, are you kidding me? What's up with that? If He wasn't Jesus, I might say, you're out of your mind. I'm too busy to look at the birds of the air. You know, my kids are flunking school. I've been doing multiplication tables till I'm blue in the face. Do you know, Lord, I've had to take a third job delivering pizzas for Domino's Pizza, which I know is an insult to New York Pizza. I'm sorry I even mentioned it. I know that. I don't even like Domino's Pizza. I'm from the South. I used to love Domino's Pizza until I moved here and you ruined me. I really did. But I've had to take a third job to supply my retirement because it's went down so much. I don't have time to look at the birds of the air. Who has time to look at the birds of the air? I can just imagine letting Jesus letting you go on and on and on with your words, looking at you when you settle down and going, are you finished yet? Are you done yet? Look at the birds of the air. The truth is, this is incredibly practical. Jesus would say, I'm just trying to help you. Stay with me for a few moments. I'm not discounting the importance of anything that's on your radar screen. I just want to help you learn how to not worry, how not to be stressed out about it, how not to have ulcers build up in your stomach, how to not be so hyper-focused on one thing over the essence of life. Worrying just makes it all a big mess. You end up in a tailspin. Things get out of control when you add worry to the equation. And Jesus is saying, look, just stay with me a minute and let's look at the birds of the air, because Jesus was the master object lesson teacher. He could take the birds of the air, he could take tombstones across the valley, he could take the vines in the vineyard and make a whole lesson. And that's what he's doing for us today. Talk about worry? Let's start. Let's look at the birds of the air. And he's got a lesson for us out of the birds from the air. They do not, look in your Bible, verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Now he's addressing their culture again. What's he saying to us? Look at the birds of the air, church. They don't have a 401k. Look at the birds of the air, church. They don't even have a college education. Look at the birds of the air. Their kids walk around. They don't hold their little feathers and walk their kids around. They don't even put helmets on them and make sure they don't stub their toe every few minutes. In fact, if you really want to look at the birds of the air, Jesus might say, they build nests as high as they can get, and then they sort of just push their children out. Good luck with that. That's a parenting model, right? They do not sow or reap. And you know what? We have a temptation here to misread this verse. If you misread this verse, you might think that Jesus is making fun of all of your hard work. But again, it's just the opposite of that. He's saying, look at the birds of the air. They don't even try very hard. They just are flying around one day, around Montauk, and they get this idea in their brain, let's go south. They don't even know why. They just go. On the way down there, maybe it's, you know, springtime or whatever, and they're flying around, and they look, and there's a neat little stick or a piece of twine on the ground, and they swoop down and pick it up and go, I should build a nest. You know, I think we did this last year. They don't have a clue why they're doing it. Instinct kicks in and they just do it. Look at the birds of the air. They don't even try. They don't have day timers. Does anybody have a day timer anymore? I have this little device now and I got Google Calendar, right? Google Calendar is a wonderful thing. Birds of the air, they don't even have Google Calendar. They don't even know what Google is. They don't use Quicken. They don't use QuickBooks. They don't have a budget. They don't pay a mortgage. They're not responsible with anything. They just do bird stuff. They just go with instinct. Look at what Jesus is saying. Verse 26 again. And get these words. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. They're not responsible with anything. He feeds them. Look at the next question. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable than the birds of the air? Listen, friends. Do you think God cares more for you than He does the birds? Don't you think that? Don't you think that God loves you and is more concerned about your life than the birds in the air? Can I tell you how much He loves you? How different we are than the rest of creation? If you read the creation story in Genesis 1, I encourage you to do that this week. Go read Genesis 1 and you'll see He made all, every day was good, and He made light and He made the birds and He made the fish of the sea, and then He made man, and it says in His own what? Image. He made them male and female. When God looks at you, He sees part of Him in you. That's how much He loves you. We're not an animal. We're not anything like that. We're made in the image of God. And when God knew we would mess it up, He made a radical plan. The angels were speechless. They didn't comprehend that God would do something like this. When God was said, you know what, they're going to mess things up. They're going to live life and they're not going to obey me and they're going to get in all kinds of trouble. I'm going to make a way for them to be forgiven. I'm going to make a way for them to be reconciled to me. I'm going to pay their penalty for their sin. I'm going to pay it myself. And He sent a Savior into the world. Not in the image of a bird, not in the image of a lion, not in the image of a cow or a goat or a sheep, but in the image in His own Son, in the image of a human being, to identify with us. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves us. Do you believe that God loves you more than a bird? Do you believe that today? Say yes if you do. Okay? That's a great statement of faith. Now I know this sounds silly to some of you. I understand that. I get that. I'm just trying to track with Jesus and His teaching for a minute. I want to tell you, this is so significant. Hang in there with me. It sounds a little bit elementary maybe. And Jesus is telling you, don't worry, and then He's telling you why, and I'm telling you that you don't have to worry about the job you're facing. You don't have to worry about whether your kids are going to graduate or whatever is on your radar screen. There's uncertainty in tomorrow, and it doesn't always work out. His point isn't to be irresponsible, like the birds of the air, you know, just do your thing. He's not saying that. Just let everything go. Don't worry about your mortgage. Don't work hard. He's not saying that at all. There's a New York saying that I learned since I moved here, and it's all good. You heard that a million times, right? We say that all the time, right? It's all good. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Because truth is, it may not be all good. And if you just go with that, positive thinking, that's called fatalism. It's not just trusting in faith. That's not going to get rid of your worry. He's inviting you to go a step further than that. Instead, to trust Him. To trust Him to help you. In other words, Jesus is saying, I want you to sow and reap. I want you to store away in barns. I want you to fill out applications. I want you to knock on doors. I want you to study hard. If you're single, I want you to ask people out. I want you to work hard. I want you to do your best. I want you to set goals. I want you to do everything you possibly can do. And when you've done everything you can do, then I want to invite you to trust your Heavenly Father. God loves me more than He loves the birds. He loves you more than He loves the birds. And after you've done everything you can possibly do, He wants you to trust Him. God loves you. And then He goes on. If you don't like that, He says, if you would disagree with what I'm saying, Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force anybody to agree with His teaching. He just puts it out there. This is too simplistic for you, too elementary for you to buy into. He has a question for you. Verse 27. And here's the question we talked about earlier. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? Great question. Okay, Jesus is saying, if you don't like my plan, it's too simplistic, sounds kind of silly, okay? Then I want you to go ahead and explore being hyper-focused. Just keep being hyper-focused. Zoom in. What if, what if, what if? You know all those scenarios we play on in our minds when we're thinking through all the things we worry about? You know what I'm talking about, right? Say yes or not, or at least not all for a little bit or something, right? Okay. So go ahead and get super hyper-focused. And then ask yourself, am I helping myself by being this way? Am I adding any quantity to my life? Am I adding any quality to my life by continuing down that road? And if worry isn't going to get you anywhere, then he says, I've got an idea. Look at the birds of the air. Settle into this revolutionary idea that God loves me more than he loves the birds of the sky. And if God loves me that much, and I've done everything I can possibly do, I've sowed, I've reaped, I've stored away in barns, if I've done everything that I have control over, and now I don't have control over anything else, I can give that component of it over to God. I don't have control of it anyway, so I might as well give it to somebody else. If so, think about how life-changing that could be for you. He goes on, verse 28. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that Solomon in all of his splendor was not clothed and dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Stop right there. Don't read another word. Just stop right there. Will he not much more clothe you? If God takes care of the flowers, and if God takes care of the birds, and the birds don't do anything, and the flowers, they don't do anything, and God takes care of them, don't you believe that God might just take care of you? The heart of worry is what Jesus is going to address with the next few words. Don't read them yet. Stay up here. Jesus, in these next four little words, is going to connect some big, giant dots in our life. Future is uncertain. I get that. You're all worried and bent out of shape about the uncertainty of the future. What is the future going to hold in my business? What is the future going to hold for the town? What is the future going to hold for my job? Will that house ever get done, Brad? I don't know. Right? What's the future hold for the things that we're dealing with? We don't know. So Jesus is going to use the next four little words to connect some giant dots to get the picture. Verse 30, the very last four words. You of little faith. Worry is a devotion issue. Worry, when you boil it all down, is a faith issue. Our emotions get attached to the things that we're the most devoted to in life. The issue is, do you trust your Heavenly Father? Worry is expressing little to no confidence in God's willingness and God's ability to take care of them. Now, I know where you get stuck. I've gotten stuck there also. And from time to time, I have to go read these verses and I have to get myself unstuck because I get stuck in the same place over and over and over, and you'll be with me. Listen. I know that God can. And I seriously doubt, maybe there's a couple here today, but I seriously doubt there's too many people that struggle with, can God do something? We know if God is God, He's all powerful. We have no problem with God can. What we struggle with the most, what puts the roadblock up, is, does God want to? We know He can, but does He want to? Some are smiling, right? We know that's true. We know that's true. We have no doubt that He can. Does He want to? Will He? I know God can help me get into a good school, but will He help me get into a good school? I know God can help me meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright, but will God lead me in that direction? I know He can. I don't know if He will. Jesus says, trust Him. He loves you more than the flowers of the field. He loves you more than the birds of the air. The issue of worry is an issue of faith. It's an issue of confidence in God. Now, imagine, as we bring this to a close, imagine for just a moment, what if you could wake up every single morning, every single day, and live your life as if you were absolutely confident that not only was God able to help you with all the stuff you had to face that day before it happened, but that He also wanted to help you with everything you had to face that day before it happened? What if you could live your life like that? What if you could wake up with confidence? I'm not just talking about the maybes and the what ifs, but with confidence that God wanted to come alongside of you and help you. Let me tell you, friends, God loves you more than the birds of the air. He loves you more than the flowers of the field. And God can and will take care of you as well. What would there be to worry about if you lived life that way? Wouldn't that help you sleep better? You'd know exactly what was going to happen. He'll take care of it. Not fatalism. I'm still going to do everything I can do, but I'm going to give that uncertain part to the Lord. It would help you stop worrying because you can trust God better. Now, in closing, I want you to all take out your communication card. Can you do that with me for a moment? On the back, there's some next steps. And we believe at South Bay Bible Church that this Christian life is a series of next steps. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. I'm taking next steps in my journey. And we believe this is a church of next steps. We're all walking this journey together. And one of those next steps that you're going to take this week, one of those steps I want to invite you to take this next week is the first one. Refuse unprofitable thinking. What does that mean? That's simply to realize that worry is a complete waste of time. And if worry is a waste of time, it's a waste of life, because time equals life. When you're out of time, you're out of life. You get the connection? It's just a waste. So unprofitable thinking is thinking about this thing I'm thinking about, this thing I'm worrying about, this thing that I'm hyper-focused on is robbing me of life. Not only quantity of life, but quality of life. I have a certain amount of life and I'm not going to throw it away anymore. I'm not going to waste my life. I've done all I can do. And if that's true, take advantage of that and stop the unprofitable thinking. And God says, start thinking about other things. And then we'll unpack that in the weeks to come. The second thing that we've learned today is to be sure that you've done all you can do. Maybe you're not sure. Maybe as you think about, nothing wrong with thinking. Thinking is not worrying. You think through something and you go, you know what? I could take that action. I could go give out 10 resumes today. I could visit or call those people that I've sent resumes to. I could call on those customers. I could go show my son another school. I could take some steps. And you go and take those steps. You do. It's okay to do everything I can do. We're not supposed to live like the birds of the air. God has given us the ability to reason and think for ourselves and live life and be proactive and strategic. And I'm all about strategic. So maybe that's what you need to do. Look at the third one. After you know that you've done everything you can do, maybe this is where you've been a little bit weak, and we've all been weak in some areas. I need to mark this box today. Maybe you need to remember God's love for you.
Maybe you need to rest in the love of God. And I want to just add a little caveat we did on the card. Remember God's past faithfulness in your life. How many times has God come through in your life? So many times, right? Remember that past faithfulness and trust God for the future. Remember His love for you. He loves you more than the flowers of the field, the birds of the air. And if you're serious about worry, if that's something that's plaguing you, I want to invite you to take a little Bible reading challenge. Maybe you've never read the Bible before. Maybe you haven't got it. I understand that. But take this challenge. If worry's an issue for you, read the scripture I put on the card, Matthew 6, 24 through 34. Just read those 11 verses. Just 11 verses. You can read it in a minute. Just read those 11 verses every day this week, or five times this week, or three times this week, and that'll prepare us. We're going to talk more about those verses next week and unpack more of what Jesus is going to tell us, and you'll have a head start. And the last one I want to challenge you today is, Pastor, worry is a problem in my life, and I believe God has the answer for me. Maybe you're not sure God has the answer for you, but you're interested. Then mark the next box. Say, Pastor, I'm going to come for the next two Sundays. I'm going to at least invest in those next 2 weeks and see what God has to show me. Just show up. What do you got to lose? Hour and 15, 20 minutes, right? Good singing, band. You can hear the message and see what God has for you. Let me tell you, it gets better and better and better. God has the answer to worry. Next week's message is switching sides. And we'll talk more about it and unpack it next week. Let's pray. God, we love You. We praise You. We're thankful for Your loving kindness. We thank You, Lord, that You love us more than the birds of the air, that You love us more than the grass of the field. And Lord, if You take care of them and they don't even plan, they're not even have responsible living, Lord. They don't have near the responsibility we do, and yet You provide for them. How much more will You provide for us? How much more will You help us? Lord, we pray that You would increase our faith, that You would help us take some of these steps on this car, that You would help us grow and set our worries aside for You. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know for sure if they died today, they would go to heaven. Lord, I pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, right now, that You would grant the gift of faith. And Lord, that they would realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin, that we've broken the law, we've violated God's law, we've lied, we've stolen, we've committed adultery in our heart, we've blasphemed God, we've dishonored our parents, we've broken all the commandments of God. And the penalty for that is death, but You sent Your own Son, Jesus, to die on a cross, to pay the penalty for our sin, to take away our guilt, to raise from the dead, to prove that You had the power over sin, and that You could give the forgiveness that we're so desperate for in our life. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would grant faith, that You would grant repentance to every single one. In Jesus' name, amen. One more card, one more note on the card. Over on the bottom side, if you didn't understand what Jesus had done for you before, and today you said, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin, or you're recommitting your life, there's a box for that too. I have a packet I'd like to mail you to you tomorrow. We'll get it in the mail tomorrow, Tuesday at the latest, and it'll be a Bible study, some helps that might encourage you in that area. I just want to encourage you to mark that and turn this card in as we receive the offering in just a moment, and we'll send you that packet in the mail and pray for any requests. I promise you, we will never give this information away. It's kept very private. We don't sell it or anything. And we would love to be in touch with you on that. We won't abuse it. So if our ushers could come, we'll receive the offering this morning. And then we'll eat in just a few moments. I think they're already grilling hamburgers. If we were outside, we would be smelling those delicious hamburgers cooking. Your mouth would be watering. So come on up, gentlemen. Let's pray for this offering as they receive it.